All right. Well, big welcome to church, everybody. So everyone's feeling good, comfortable. Just a couple of little things before we start talking about the fasting. You may not be aware, Lucy Haru's mum passed away and her tangi is today. And I know some of us will be going to the service at 12, but we've still got another hour before we need to get away. So just letting you know about that. That's I think she was a Christian woman and got a strong influence in the community and just a good lady. And, of course, Lucy was very much a part of our church for a long time here. So, just so that you're aware of that. And, the Te Uku tonight, we thought we'd just have a little bit of a change just to make it possible for people to see the most of the cricket, if you're wanting to do that. And for the younger ones, it'll be your last chance to win the prize for the memory verses. So it won't be such a late service. But we wanted to have it finishing around 7. So if people do come, if we get visitors coming late or unexpectedly, we'll still be there. We can invite them back home to our places to have a meal with us and enjoy the cricket and spend some time if we do have visitors, because that's always the challenge, isn't it, that when we change things that not everybody hears about it. So if you could text everyone out, let everyone know that you think may possibly be planning on coming to Te Uku tonight, that it's 6 rather than 7 is the starting time. How about if we just, Cheryl, let me just come and pray for God's blessing on his word to us today.
Pray. Father, just thank you for this time when we can open your word. Lord, I thank you that even though you're such an enormous big God, Lord, you want to speak to us and just speak into our hearts and keep changing and growing us. And so we just commit this time to you now. I thank you for the word that you've laid on Roger's heart. And Lord, I pray for your blessing and anointing on it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. How's the fasting going? How's everyone? Had a good week? Had an okay week? Yep. It's not, as I mentioned last week, it's not always an easy thing, but actually it's a very significant thing. And I just encourage some of you that perhaps have never, ever fasted before. You know, last week was just the warm-up. That was just a bit of a practice. This week we're going to really get serious about our fasting. If you've never considered fasting, you never tried it, I just want to encourage you to consider it, because incredible things do happen when we really set aside to fast and pray and seek God. And particularly, I believe, as a church, when there's so many of us doing it, things really, really do shift and change. I'm going to talk about that today, but I just want to encourage you, if you've never, ever tried fasting, and it's not a big deal about how long, or whether you just have water or a bit of juice or whatever, but even just consider missing a meal, or just going for one day, or what, you don't need to necessarily fast right through till Friday at communion. Some may want to. Let's put a little challenge out there. Anyone that wants to, come and see me after, and I'll challenge you. Okay, keep ourselves accountable. This week we have another sheet of suggested prayer subjects. Once again, perhaps you could pass some of those around. I'll keep one. It's just a suggestion, but I think once again, if we're praying together, there's unity. We're praying through the same stuff at the same time. There's much more power and impact with it. You see that we're stepping it up a little bit this week, taking the land. That's prayer and fasting. Monday, we've got readings, Bible readings that are leading us right through into Easter, into Good Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. Even though we're finishing our fast officially at the Good Friday service, we've got things coming up over the weekend that are included in that. Along the top line is those those verses, reading through the Easter story. The things at the bottom are the things that are happening, particularly that day in the life of the church. But on Monday, tomorrow, for example, invitations and advertising for Easter services will be effective. Who can I invite? Just to start really thinking and praying about who we should be inviting along to church next weekend. And then every day from Monday through Thursday, I've put down here the Pray for the Church Building Project. Tomorrow is for clear direction. For Tuesday is for finance. For Wednesday is that the children and youth of Raglan will be drawn into God's house. Because really that's what it's all about. It's about the next generation reaching out into this community, and particularly for the younger ones coming through, and really to establish God's name in this place, and that God's house will be established in the centre of Raglan. So that's the theme through this week. But every day, Tuesday is a focus on missions. Wednesday is a focus on local outreach for the children the Camp Raglan and including Christian Surfers. Adventure College looking forward. We haven't got students this year, but we're starting already to plan for next year. We're actually going to write our own curriculum. We're going to change it up, step it up, make it a lot more accessible for people and not quite so costly. So we really, really value your prayer for that as Andy and the team really start working on that. And Thursday, praying again for those that we've invited to come over the weekend. And Friday, to pray for an open heaven over our community. So that's the sort of progression. I just encourage you to look at this each day, to read the readings, to consider praying through those things. And if you're fasting as well, there's just that extra power and emphasis on that. So, you know, last week we covered a lot of stuff. Generally, we're praying for all the churches in Raglan. We're praying for the leaders and so on and so forth. But this week we're a little bit more specific. We also, now that fasting sheet, last week we started passing that around a bit late. So whereabouts is that at the moment? Got it over there, Graham? That's cool. You know, one or two of you made the comment last week, it's not about writing our name down so that we can be a hero. We've got our name on the prayer and fasting sheet. It's simply so that as a church, you know, as leaders, we know that every day, every meal right through the week is covered, and so that some of us can fill in the gaps later. Because we're really serious about this, having this whole period of time, these 2 weeks, really covered completely. So please do write in, and you can always do more, but if you're willing to commit yourself to something, and then we just want to make sure that everything's covered. It's not about having your name, and we don't sort of publish who's doing it or anything. In fact, you know, it's only probably me and Cheryl that will really know who's fasting at any particular time. But now, last week we talked about Daniel and how he was, you know, we talked over the weeks, we've talked about the incredible influence that he had and the awesome man of God that he was and the things that God revealed to him. We haven't even started getting into that, about the prophetic stuff and stuff in our day that is still unfolding that Daniel had revealed to him. But last week we learned that really at the base of all this, and he had a real heart for God, but he was a man of prayer. And that was his power source, as it were. And I think we need to realize that for many of us, this is an untapped power source. I believe that. For me personally, I know I often get too busy, and prayer becomes something that, you know, you sort of do when you can fit it in. And fasting is something that you put off as long as you can until you or whatever. But, you know, I think this whole thing of prayer and fasting, it's an untapped power source for us, God's people. And Daniel knew that secret, and he put it into practice. And often, you know, in our busyness, we don't. But I just want to encourage you to consider it. For Daniel, it was a natural part of his life. In Daniel chapter 6 last week, we looked at the fact that Daniel prayed three times a day. He went to an upstairs room, and he opened the windows, and he was facing towards Jerusalem. And I mean, we don't need to face towards Jerusalem now, but that was for him. That was where, you know, his homeland and his memories and his focus was. It gave him a focus, and he got down on his knees and he prayed and he gave thanks to God. Even when being thrown to the lions, if you remember, he went right ahead and prayed as usual because he knew that his power source came from his time of prayer, not from obeying the king, which when the king gave him a contrary command. So I think there's some significant things that we can learn. Daniel had a lot of power and influence, as we mentioned, in Babylon and spanning over several empires, the Babylonian and Medo-Persian empires. But he always knew where the real power came from. It wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar who gave him the power. It wasn't Belshazzar, that was Nebuchadnezzar's son. He served under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, or King Darius, or King Cyrus. Daniel actually served under four different kings, two empires. So he was a man who was serving for a long time in a position of privilege and influence. But it was the living God that gave him the position that he had. Nothing, not even the threat of death, was going to stop him tapping into that source. We looked last week in Daniel chapter 9, and today we're going to go into chapter 10. And here we see Daniel as he grew older. He's in his 80s, and he became concerned that some of the promises of God for the nation of Israel, his nation, God's people, should be fulfilled. And we looked at this last week, particularly the prophecy in Jeremiah 25:11. Which referred to the restoration of Jerusalem and the temple and the land of Israel after 70 years of desolation would be rebuilt and there would be restoration there. And Daniel had lived that long enough to see through all of that period, and he knew the time was come, but it was slow happening, and so he was really seeking God for that. And I was thinking about that. You know, Daniel had a concern for things on a national scale. He wasn't just worried, he wasn't just praying and fasting about his own needs and his own comfort. And probably most of us begin there, he probably began there at some point, and it's okay to begin there, but let's not end there with just about ourselves and our own situation and our own needs and comfort. And really, Daniel was doing pretty well there in Babylon. But, you know, he didn't have, I guess, a lot of needs by the time he was in his 80s. He'd been serving these kings and these incredible, powerful empires. He probably was on a pretty good salary, well cared for. But he had concerns, even though all his immediate needs were met. He could have just, in his 80s, could have retired, cruised. You know, he served God in his generation. He could have sort of thought, well, I've done my bit. But he didn't. He had a real concern for God's name. And that concern grew out of two areas, for God's people and for God's house. And I just want to put the challenge out there. Are we concerned about God's people and God's house? Are we concerned enough to fast and pray for those sorts of things? Because ultimately, that was the situation for Daniel. Because he had a concern for God's name, he understood that God's name was interwoven into those things. God's people and God's house. The church today, the world looks at us as Christians and the church, and we represent God. And if the God's house is in tatters and the church is struggling along and Christians are all over the place and, you know, our lives are a shambles, well, it's not a very good representation of God, is it, to our community? So it's important that we pray. If we have a concern for God's name, it's important that we have a concern for God's people. And that's all of God's people that represent his name. And for God's house, that's his church for us. Now, that's another thing I think. It's another reason why, as Christians, I don't believe we should ever bad mouth God's people in other churches and what other leaders and what's going on if we don't approve of it. I think we need to be very, very careful that we're not bad-mouthing God's people or God's church in any way. It's not ours, actually, to criticize. It's God's. But we should do what Daniel did. We should, if we've got a concern, we should be praying and fasting and lifting up people in situations. So that's just a little thought. Because, you know, sometimes we really do have concerns, don't we? That the church should be doing this, or the leaders should be doing that, or think, you know, we think about Brian Tamaki or something in Destiny Church, and get all critical and upset about it all. And, you know, let's stop criticizing these people, and let's start really, really praying for them and fasting for them, and because, you know, God can use them, and He does. And we need to be backing them in prayer, not undermining them without gossip. And it's something that I'm actually quite passionate about. And, you know, I guess I really struggle. And of course, we all want the church to be healthier and stronger and more effective. But let's do what Daniel did and pray and fast about it rather than tearing it down. So that's just a thought. Daniel chapter 10 is where we are today. Because I guess really that's the foundation, isn't it? Our power source is God. It's not man, human leaders. It's God. And he can change things and shift things and move things. And Daniel understood that. Daniel chapter 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, as I mentioned before, this was the fourth king that Daniel had served under. A revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Now, this was a type of fast, and it's known, it's referred to as the Daniel fast. If we quickly look at that, this was a time where Daniel, for 3 weeks, he had a focused time. He had no choice food. He just would have eaten vegetables and just a bit of broth or whatever. He had no meat, no wine, and he didn't even put any lotions on. He didn't put on his makeup or whatever he wore, I don't know. But I think this is an acceptable form of fasting. Just to deny ourselves of privileges or things that we enjoy for a period of time, so that we can really focus on prayer. And it's not necessary that we always need to go completely without food for the whole time. But I think mentioned last week, Daniel was in his 80s here. You know, for an 84-year-old man is what they think his age was at this point. It's probably would have been quite a big ask for him to go for 3 weeks without any food and just water. I mean, Jesus went for 40 days, no sweat. He was 30, he was young, he was fit. And you know, he didn't do a partial fast, he did a complete fast. And most of us can too, I think, for at least a day or two or three or a week or whatever. But if we're not well, if we're elderly, or if we're pregnant or breastfeeding, or it's just simply not sensible for us to go on a full fast. Well, we can have a partial fast or a shorter one. So I just put that out. This is what Daniel did here, and it's known as a Daniel fast. On the 24th, and it was effective. I think that's the thing. It's not, it's not sort of exactly what we do. It's really our heart towards this that counts. That's what God's really looking for. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, this is Daniel, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face was lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Now this was apparently was an angel. You know, sometimes we have pictures or ideas of what an angel is like, you know, something sort of fluttery like a fairy and something pretty pathetic. But an angel, I want to just, in the Bible, an angel was a very fearsome thing. If you think about that, let's just quickly look back there. There was a man, it was like a man, dressed. Daniel at first thought he was a man, dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. I'm not sure what chrysolite is, but it was probably really shone. It was probably some glory around that body. It was something he'd never seen. And his face was like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs looked with like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. And that's nothing pathetic. That's something very, very powerful. And I think we need to realize that the spiritual realm and the angelic realm is a very, very powerful realm. And sometimes we sort of get the whole wrong concept because we, you know, read fairy stories or whatever as kids, and we think that's what it's all about. And this is the effect that it had on Daniel and his friends. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. See, the other guys didn't see it, but they had a sense. There was a sense that something awesome was happening. They were so frightened, they ran away. These probably powerful, strong young men that were with Daniel, and they went and hid themselves. So I was left alone, this is Daniel, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. It was like he fainted in the presence of this, it was only a vision as well, the vision of this angel, this picture of this angelic being that was there beside Daniel. He actually was with my face to the ground. It was like he fainted. He just couldn't stand in the presence of this being. And then a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. And I have come in response to them, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. See, this was what Daniel's concern was. This is what Daniel's prayer was about. This is what his fasting was about. And in chapter 9, we talked about it last week, and then again in chapter 10, Daniel was really, really concerned about his people, about the nation of Israel, about the city of Jerusalem, and about the temple. And everything was in tatters. Everything was destroyed. It didn't exist anymore. And he knew that the promise from Isaiah and Jeremiah was that the prophets, that it was time to rebuild all this. And he was concerned about this. And this is what the angel had come to with a message from God to tell him about. And this was an answer to a specific answer to his prayer. It wasn't something unexpected for Daniel. This is what he wanted to know. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I'm helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. That's how he felt in the presence of this angelic being. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. Michael was the prince over Israel, the angelic prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Now, we're aware that Daniel was praying and fasting in mourning, actually, over the state of God's people, the state of Israel in God's house, God's temple in Jerusalem, because it represented the name of God. He was in mourning about the spiritual state of things because God's name was being damaged through that. And in verse 12, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, we're just rereading this, and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. I think it's important for us to realize that from the moment that Daniel prayed, God heard. You know, sometimes we can think we pray and pray and pray and God doesn't hear. Now, as soon as we pray, God hears us. That's what happened here. That was very clear from the moment that, from the first day. And God sets about to answer our prayers immediately. He sets the answers to our prayer in motion. He answers us straight away. But sometimes, and that was the case in Daniel's situation here, because of the spiritual atmosphere we are living in, the answer takes a while to get through. And there's a principle here, and I think it's important for us to get this. See, immediately, this powerful angel was on his way with an answer to Daniel's prayer. But verse 13 tells us, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. This angelic being was on his way from heaven with an answer to Daniel's prayer, but in the spiritual, he was resisted by a demonic prince for 21 days. It wasn't, this prince was not a human prince. He was a spiritual being, and a demonic prince who had spiritual authority over the region of Persia. And the Apostle Paul talks about this. He says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, and this is in the context of the armor of God. He's saying, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and in the King James it says against principalities and powers in the unseen realm. You know, sometimes we don't realize what's really going on. Against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, we need to realize these things exist, that there is a spiritual world that we're living in. And on Friday, at the end of our fast, on Friday itself, you'll notice in our prayer sheet that we're praying for an open heaven over our community. After 2 weeks of praying and fasting, my hope is that us as God's people and as His church will be changing the spiritual atmosphere to a point where it's more open spiritually here in our community. Do you understand that? And I think really this is what this whole prayer and fasting thing is about. Because if we could just fast for 5 minutes or pray a couple of prayers or just sort of fast, now and then or whenever, without this concerted, consistent prayer and fasting, it was just as effective, just a little bit here and a bit there, and it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But because of the way that the spiritual realm is structured, we need to be a bit smarter than that. And my belief and my hope is that after 2 weeks of praying and fasting, the spiritual atmosphere over Raglan will be significantly different. Even if we can't see it, it will be considerably freer. And I don't know about you guys, different places have different atmospheres, don't they? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been to a place where it's really oppressive and heavy and you feel, different countries. I know Lana talked about coming back, was it Bali, from Bali in Thailand, and a beautiful place and a nice place to visit, but Alana's thought was that in some of the areas that they were in, it was just very oppressive, is that right? And spiritually, quite dark. But when you think about what's happening, there's a lot of idol worship, there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on there. And, with this whole thing of an open heaven and the spiritual atmosphere changing, it's so that God's love and His Spirit will have freer access to people. that we've really been praying for and we're loving and wanting to see come into his kingdom. And for Daniel, it took 21 days of prayer and fasting to break through to get an answer. There was, I don't know that there's anything sort of special about the 21 day thing, because we, you know, if we know that Jesus fasted for 40 days, Daniel for 21 days, Esther, Queen Esther called a national fast for 3 days before she went to see the king, because the king was about to issue a decree that all the Jews would be killed, if you remember that. It was a 3 day fast. But I think the thing is, I think we should be praying and fasting until the burden of the Holy Spirit lifts off us. Now, do you know what I'm talking about there? Sometimes you get a sense that you need to be doing something and you need to keep doing it and keep doing it and praying, and then suddenly you feel, oh, the job's done. And there's sort of a freer, and it's a lifting. I don't think the 21 days is a magical figure that we should always be fasting for, praying for 21 days necessarily, but I think Daniel kept praying until the burden of the Holy Spirit left, and he just knew, oh, we're going to get a breakthrough, and then the angel came or whatever. I don't necessarily think it's about praying until we get the answer either, because God sometimes wants to give us more than what we're asking him about. So I think it's really about being in tune with the Holy Spirit and keeping on until we get that sense that it's there's a freedom. I just want to remind you too, I mentioned about, you know, different places in the world and even different areas in New Zealand. I know we've been on holidays in all sorts of different places around New Zealand, and we've stayed in some very random batches and beaches and all sorts of places. We've been to some places that have been quite spiritually dark and heavy, where we've had to spend, you know, the first few days freeing the place up so we could enjoy our holiday. But some towns, I think, have got a spiritual atmosphere. And I think it's because there's princes over different areas, just as there was over Persia and Greece and Israel. You know, right around the world, there's demonic princes over different areas, and their authority is directly linked into their power comes from the degree of sin and idol worship and occultic stuff. That's where their power source is. So they're there all the time. Sometimes they're weak, but, you know, if there's righteousness and godly living and so on and so forth. But in a situation where there's a lot of occultic stuff going on, a lot of sin and immorality and all sorts of stuff, their power gets stronger. And the place gets darker and heavier and harder for us to have to break through in prayer and to see things changing. And Daniel lived in the city of Babylon, if you remember. And it was probably the center of idol worship and demonic activity for the whole place. Now, I think the spiritual realm of darkness there in Babylon would have been very strong. And that's why for Daniel, it took 21 days to break through that, because of the oppressive spiritual atmosphere that was over that place, because of the things that were going on there. But thankfully, Daniel prayed and fasted long enough for the answer to come, for the angels to break through that spiritual barrier. See, that's why it's so important that we persist for as long as it takes. You know, we don't just sort of start and get serious for a day or two or whatever and then fizzle out. Because the answer could be on the way. Well, it will be on the way. We may not have received it yet. In actual fact, sometimes I think when we pray, and sometimes even when we fast, sometimes things get worse initially. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that, where you're praying for a family or a situation, and you're sort of, you know, expecting to see miracles and healings, but sometimes things get worse. Because actually what's happened is there's a stirring up in the spiritual. All we've done is just stir things up. The demonic stuff that was already, that had authority in those people's lives or in that situation. And so that's why we need to keep praying through and sometimes fasting as well before we're going to see things really change. Because, you know, so if we just stir things up and then back off, we've probably done more harm than good in some situations. So we've got to have that consistency. We've got to keep praying. We've got to keep going until, you know, that burden of the Holy Spirit lifts and we know, hey, the answers come. The breakthrough's here. The atmosphere's changing. Things are going to get freer and better. So I just want to encourage you that we need to keep going. I mean, that's what the prayer sheet's about. We need to realize it's more of a relay, more of a marathon than a sprint, this whole area of praying through things. And there's power and agreement and unity. Luke 18, verses 2 to 8, Jesus told his disciples the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. And she just kept coming and coming and coming, and then he eventually gave her justice. And Jesus said, that's what you guys need to be praying like. Just keep coming and coming and coming. That's why. I mean, God could, sometimes God just steps in and you get an instant answer, and that's awesome. But I think God wants us to learn to really press in and to wrestle and to seek him and to keep on and learn that sort of inner strength and faith and persistence that we're willing to keep going with stuff for as long as it takes. Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus talked about if two agree on earth, it will be done in heaven. So there's power in agreement and there's power in unity. And there's power in what we're doing right now. And I think sometimes we don't realize how much power there is, potential to really shift and move things in Raglan. And as we're fasting, remember to drink plenty of water. Remember to keep reading God's word. And try and set aside some time to pray. It's not, remember last week, it's not just a diet, it's a fast. Has anyone had any specific answers to prayer yet through this first week? Nobody's had anything specific yet? It's all right. I'm believing that by the end of the week, we're going to really see some things changing. And breaking through and different things happening. In Joel chapter 2, verse 15, we might have that up on the screen, I think. Is Chris there? She's on to it. There's this verse here. You know, Israel at this time as well was in a real bad state. And this is what the prophet Joel said. He said, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Call the people together." Verse 16, "Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders, the children, those nursing at the breast, everybody." Joel said, get everybody together. And you'll see some things begin to change. And God's response, if you read through Joel chapter 2 from verses 18 to 27, God really started to pour out his blessing on his people. Actually, one thing has changed since we started praying and fasting. We had a good rain this morning, didn't we? Yeah, we had, junior youth. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we've already had some. Fiona?
It's more about last Sunday at church, before Roger asked us to humble ourselves and to ask for forgiveness and stuff. I've been struggling for a long time with unforgiveness towards somebody, and I think I've done it, and I think, okay, you know, I forgive the person, and anyway, before Roger even said anything, I just went out and I was coming, I can't forgive this person. God, I just can't do it. And as soon as I said, but I want to do it. I can't do it, but I want to do it. And when Roger asked us to ask for forgiveness and stuff, it just went. It's totally gone. All week, it's just totally gone. And I just had to share. I don't know whether anyone else I've never experienced anything like that before. Usually I can forgive people by myself, but this time I just couldn't. And it's just amazing.
It's cool. You guys have had a few minutes to think about some things that, you know, might have shifted and changed over the last week. And if we believe that God exists, you got something there, Peter? And we're not just talking into emptiness. We're talking to the almighty, powerful Creator God. That's what we've got to remember. That's why there's so much power in prayer, because of who we're talking to.
Yes, I had a situation last Friday as I went off on my school bus. There was a couple of kids got on, and I talked to them about Easter, and the only thing that they understood Easter was about bunnies and eggs. And I said, well, we have a holiday because what Jesus has done for us. And they, even though they were only on the bus for a couple of minutes before others got on, they were really excited that Jesus has done something really significant for us and particularly for them.
Awesome. Brendan, you guys are starting to think of things now.
Tuesday I was fasting, and I've never seen myself as much of an evangelist, but I've been chatting with people lately just at work, because I just chat, because it means I don't have to work. On Tuesday, one of my workmates, who I see once or twice a week, came to me and said, oh, hey, you've really got me thinking, because I chatted with him on the week before. You've really got me thinking. I want to sit down with you sometime and discuss these spiritual things. And like, it's happened a couple of times in the last week with two different people who maybe were quite closed off and now like asking me, can you tell me what you have? So, yeah, I just thought that was quite cool and significant for me.
Was that something that you were specifically praying and fasting about, or was that just a bonus to it? It's just, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, sometimes we can start down a track and it probably mostly about our needs or whatever, but then God, and with Daniel, you know, Daniel was concerned about the nation of Israel and, you know, the temple being in ruins and Jerusalem and so on and so forth. But God actually, in chapter 11, we're not even going to get into this today, God revealed to Daniel a picture of all the kingdoms that were going to come right through till the end of time. And there's a lot in it about the Antichrist and the time that we're about to come into. You know, God revealed to Daniel so much more than he even dared to ask about in the first place. So, you know, it is quite... Are you going to share something, Marie? Isaiah 55 is a verse, a chapter that God has given us as a church in the past. So the fact that that's been reminded and about the, you know, the living water and the desert coming to life and all sorts of things, there's quite a lot in that chapter that I remember God spoke to us as a leadership probably about 15 years ago as a prophetic chapter for this church. And so it's interesting that's come up again. But is there anyone else before we carry on? I mean, you might think, Joy? You all heard that, all right? Cool, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. We're getting back to Joel. You know, when he called a holy fast for the whole nation and called everyone together, the people, the assembly, it was like he called the church together, you know, the children. And children can be a part of this too, by the way, don't leave your children out. You know, if you guys are praying and fasting, include them as well. And they catch this stuff, and they can miss the odd bit of food now and then. They don't probably want to fast all week, but now they can join us in a simple way, and they'll learn stuff and catch it. This is what was happening here in Israel. And in verse 28, this is what the prophet Joel says. And afterwards, you know, well, first of all, it's all the natural blessings, you know, the rain and the crops and the abundance and the stuff that they, you know, so much they couldn't contain it. And afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. You see, we know this, don't we? We know this as a promise for God in the last days, that this is what's going to happen. But we don't always realize that it begins with a fast. It begins with God's people seeking him and fasting and praying and really getting serious. And then afterwards, the natural blessings come, and then the spiritual blessings come. And it's just awesome, you know, prophecy and dreams and visions. And in verse 20, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. So that's just some thoughts to encourage you to keep at it this week. And let's just really believe that as we keep pressing in, that stuff is shifting in the spiritual realm, that even more than we can begin to imagine, probably. At life groups this week too, it'd be good to spend quite a bit of time focusing in prayer, as well as perhaps you might want to quickly talk through some of these principles about the spiritual realm and stuff, but and think about that. But you know, let's just as a church, out of respect for those that are fasting today, we've only got water today. We're not having coffees and flash hospitality and all sorts of food. That will be next week. It's just out of respect for those that actually are fasting right now. So we're making it easier for them. As a church, we're going to go now without our coffee fix and our normal little blessings of food. But next week, we're going to really start celebrating and feasting. And that's the other thing. God is really into feasting as well. So it's not all about fasting. Anyway, how about if we stand and just get ready to worship God?